Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech cabinet is debating the worsening coronavirus situation. The prosecutor proposes a high court judge accused of manipulating cases be kept behind bars. And hygiene stations fear they will be overwhelmed by demands for free COVID tests. The cabinet is discussing the worsening coronavirus situation in the country on Monday and the possibility of once again tightening restrictions to curb the spread of the virus. Since last Thursday, when shops and restaurants reopened, the PES risk score has increased from 57 to 64, putting the country back on the fourth level of the government's coronavirus emergency system. If the negative trend continues for several more days, tougher restrictions may have to be reintroduced. The government will also debate ways to motivate larger companies to test their employees and for people to undergo the free testing offered in the run-up to Christmas. Lynxes, wolves, or birds of prey living in the Czech Republic are increasingly endangered by poachers, according to the news site idnes.cz. Poachers hunt them as trophies, and birds of prey are frequently poisoned by unknown perpetrators. Conservationists say many cases go undetected because poachers remove the animal remains before they can be found. Hygiene stations fear they will be unable to cope with the increased coronavirus testing and tracing in the coming weeks due to the introduction of voluntary testing for free ordered by the government. According to Deník N, many hygiene stations have already reached their capacity limit. Although fewer people are sent for testing by GPs, hygiene stations have begun testing teachers on government orders and will be expected to conduct antigen tests for members of the public willing to undergo voluntary testing for free as of December 18th. Children with speech defects or physical disabilities will continue to have assistance in schools to help them with their lessons, the news site ihned.cz reported on Monday. The Ministry of Education originally planned to remove assistance from around 20,000 people with special needs within a series of cost-cutting measures effective from January. Over 3,500 homes were without power on Monday after gale force winds battered the Czech Republic for a second night. Strong winds, toppled trees and power outages plagued the country throughout the weekend, causing considerable material damage and taking one life in a freak accident. The state prosecutor in charge of a case in which five individuals are accused of corruption and manipulating court cases has asked that four of the defendants be kept in custody. High State Attorney Lenka Bradáčová told Czech news agency on Monday. This includes the accused Prague High Court judge Zdeněk Sovák, whose office was raided last weekend. The prosecutor believes that the defendants could attempt influencing witnesses if they are not kept in prison. And finally, a look at the weather. Tuesday should be partly cloudy to overcast, with scattered showers and day temperatures between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news. Hi, this is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech Arts Ministry aims to make a major investment in TV and video game production. Christmas ornaments from Železný Brod are on display in New York. And we meet Tomáš Vidra, a well-known music DJ with a fascinating history that includes getting locked up with his parents as a young teenager. All that's coming up in today's program. In response to changing trends, the Ministry of Culture has announced plans to establish a new fund for the support of TV and video game production, Czech Television reported on Sunday. If the subsidy program is approved by the government, it would bring 750 million crowns of funding for original TV shows and video games. Tom McEncrow has more.
Already before the onset of the coronavirus, high-quality television films and series were becoming an increasingly competitive segment with movies intended for the big screen. At the same time, the worldwide video game industry has already tripled its income when compared to the box office industry in past years. The Czech Ministry of Culture is planning to respond to these trends by creating a special audiovisual fund that will be focused on supporting television and video game productions. The fund would operate with a 750 million crown budget, a significant portion of the 3 billion crowns that the ministry is hoping to receive via the EU Coronavirus Recovery Fund. Culture Minister Lubomír Zaorálek told Czech television that he sees this as a logical investment.
It should be in the interest of the state to create a strong segment of the Czech economy in this area. In some neighboring countries, it's already the second or third most significant part of the economy.
Setting up a fund focused on both television and gaming could have its benefits too. The director of the State Cinematography Fund, Helena Bezněk-Frankova, told Czech television that the ministry has already identified relevant connections between the animation and gaming sectors. Pavel Barák from the Czech Game Developers Association agrees.
The games industry, it's actually quite a wide variety of positions, and it's connected with animation, but it's also connected in movies industry because the games are getting more and more advanced. It requires already actors or people that can understand camera or script writing or these sort of things.
He also says that this is the first time that the state is actively talking to the Czech games industry, whose revenues reached nearly 5 billion crowns last year. This is quite a lot compared to the film and television industry's 1 billion crowns.
We approach it very positively, but right now it's all in the state of planning, so we are quite open to what will it bring, but we will see. It's really at the start.
The government is expected to decide on whether to go ahead with the proposal at the turn of February to March next year. However, some economists have criticized the ministry for allocating too few financial resources into innovative projects, according to Czech television. For a long time now, the Czech Game Developers Association has been calling for state help, particularly in the area of supporting relevant education that would generate much-needed graduates for the gaming sector. An active role of the state in attracting foreign investment is also seen as important, says Mr. Barák.
On the occasion of the festive season, the Czech Center in New York has prepared a series of events celebrating the tradition of Czech glassmaking. One of the highlights is a new collection of unique Christmas ornaments manufactured in the renowned glass school in Železný Brod, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Ruth Frankova has more.
The beautiful Christmas ball ornaments, which are currently on display in New York City, were created by teachers and students from the glass school in Železný Brod, the largest institution of its kind in Europe. They were made at the school's glasswork using the technique of free-form glass blowing. The color of the Christmas ball ornaments was achieved by wrapping clear crystal glass in colored glass powders. The ornaments are currently on display in the prestigious Heller Gallery in the city's district of Chelsea. Miroslav Konvalina, head of Czech Center New York, explains how the cooperation came about.
The Heller Gallery in New York is a traditional partner of the Czech Center New York for years. For more than four decades, Heller exhibited premier, international and also Czech artists. For us, it's important that numerous artworks have entered prestigious public collections as a direct result of Heller Gallery exhibitions and also their advocacy. In the past, this gallery was also in touch with the glass school in Železný Brod, and so when we came with an idea that we want to have a project connected to 100th anniversary of the school, they just said yes.
The owner of the gallery also helped to set up an online discussion with US experts about the tradition of Czech and German glass ornaments, which took place last week. But the Heller Gallery is not the only place where New Yorkers can currently admire the delicate rainbow-colored glass ornaments. They also adorn a Christmas tree at the Bohemian National Hall, says Mr. Konvalina.
Start a tradition of Czech design Christmas trees, not only in America, but also in other Czech centers around the world. the idea was that, you know, we have great Czech artists who are doing contemporary design, and we want them to have chance to come to New York to put the shoe in the doors. And maybe, you know, we will start with the design Christmas ornaments, and then our artists can find other connections and come for different fairs, exhibition, and make their own contacts here in New York and outside.
The Christmas balls from Železný Brod also play a role in a special music video featuring a long-lost Czech Christmas carol.
One of our dear Czech friends, Stanislav Kotyza, a former opera singer and fellow Czech, discovered lost Czech carol in his native town of Humpolec when he was 17 years old, and he was an organist in the church. And the manuscript, dated from 1854, was written by a local music teacher. And now Kotyza family recorded for us a video clip with this lost Czech Christmas carol, and magical Czech Christmas ornaments from Železný Brod are also displayed in this video.
As a gesture of solidarity in the time of pandemic, the beautiful Christmas balls will eventually be handed out to the families of Czech experts and diplomats in the gallery of the Czech Center in New York.
Now, in the final part of our program, my guest is DJ Tomáš Vidra. Many Czech music fans will be familiar with the voice of Tomáš Vidra, a DJ who's been sharing his extremely deep knowledge of classic blues and rock on the alternative station Radio Jedna for decades. What many may not know is that Vidra was previously a top-level professional tennis coach, or that he was locked up with his parents in his early teens when the family returned to normalization Czechoslovakia after a lengthy stay abroad. We touched on all of those areas and more when he visited our studios recently.
Tomáš, I was reading that you spent time in Africa as a child.
That's actually true, Ian. I spent my childhood in Ghana, in Kumasi, from 1968, obviously, to 1974. My father was a professor at the University of Science and Technology in Kumasi.
What do you recall of that time?
It was absolutely amazing. People are very nice. What I really like, and that what actually brought me to my favorite blues music, was something which in Ghana they called high life music. And it's the roots mixed a little bit with the influences from Europe and the US.
And was it hard for you to readjust to living in Czechoslovakia after being somewhere so colorful?
Oh, when we returned, they put us to jail. So I was sitting in jail for about half a year with my parents because they treated us as immigrants who returned. So that was not big fun.
They put a child in jail?
Oh, yeah. I've been in jail, yeah. And then I was not allowed to go to school. I had to take an apprenticeship and work. And then I got to a college, and then studying university, I couldn't do that, so I was studying an evening university, that's what it was called.
The communists put a child in jail?
No, I wasn't the only one. I was actually one of the oldest. There was five or six kids there, much younger than me.
And you were in a cell with your parents or something?
Oh, yeah. It was called an insane asylum because we were mad to try to leave the country, which actually we didn't, but okay.
Well, that's a totally amazing story. You were a DJ. I'd like to ask you, when did you or how did you first get into music? You mentioned the high life in Ghana. But apart from that, what was the stuff that grabbed you?
Well, because Ghana was such a country ahead of its time, then not only high life music, you got to listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Birds and other bands. So I already came back with my eyes open.
So you had a big advantage over your peers at home in Czechoslovakia?
Not really. I came back here and I found out there's every Sunday there's a vinyl burza, or you might call
market,
it a market, on Wenceslas Square. So that's how I started trading with some of the vinyl that I brought with me, and I got new ones. But the Burza was moving. Then it was on Španielská Street. Then it went to Kampa. It kept on moving as the police were pushing it out.
And was it legal, or was it kind of, did they look the other way, or how did it work?
Well, at the beginning, nobody understood what it is. So even the police guys who were sort of controlling the traffic, they just said, move away from the street. But then later on, of course, it became a big thing, because even though there was not so much freedom here as in Hungary or Poland, the Burza, that was an absolutely unique thing, because it was nowhere behind the Iron Curtain. People actually tried to come to Prague from Hungary, from Poland, to go to Burza and get some vinyl that they couldn't get their hands on.
And were they also selling taped copies of records?
Yeah, everything, literally. The main thing is that you would go on Sunday, buy a vinyl, tape it at home, and sell it the next Sunday and buy another one. That's how it meant. Or you just trade it for another vinyl, tape it on 10 tapes for your friends. So somebody ended up with a copy from a copy from a copy. It was awful, but they were still happy to have it.
Your first concert was Louis Armstrong, is that true?
Yeah, I was a kid. Yeah, that was before we left. I was quite amazed, because it wasn't really my cup of tea at that age. You have to grow to listen to jazz. What I was amazed about at that age is that I was just fascinated by what the musicians can do. Because it was not really about, it was about him, but his musicians were also fabulous. So that's what really struck me. I thought, oh, wow, they can really play those instruments. Because before that, I just thought it's him singing and then somebody playing a little bit. But then you saw all those musicians. That was the thing that I still remember.
You were telling me earlier that you are a hippie. You were a hippie. Was it hard to be a hippie in Czechoslovakia in, let's say, the 80s?
It was very hard. They would cut your hair. Because what happened is they would just meet you on the street and they would ask you for your ID. And if your hair wasn't the same as on your ID, they would just take you to the barbershop and cut your hair. And it's not a barbershop that we know now, you know, these metrosexuals having their beards cut. No, they just cut you for 4 crowns and cut your hair. So what some of us did, and I did as well, is every second month we changed the picture on the ID. So then they couldn't cut your hair.
You're a vegetarian, Tomáš. How did you become, or why did you become a vegetarian?
It is a long story, but the short and most true part is, after they released us from jail, I finished the primary school, and I went to apprenticeships, and I was learning to become a tractor driver in a farm. And in those days, when you saw how they treat the animals on the farm, it was awful. You just can't imagine. And then, of course, I was driving the animals to the slaughterhouse. And when you saw that, you just couldn't eat it. It was impossible. And, of course, being a vegetarian in those days, was not fun.
Well, I remember I was a vegetarian here in the early 90s, and that was difficult. I mean, I ate a lot of fried cheese in those days.
That's rubbish, fried cheese. But, yeah, that was probably the only meal. But, yeah, kind of so fried mushrooms. That was also possible. It was hard, because if you came to a pub and said, I just want the rice without the meat, they threw you out. First of all, they didn't know how to market just rice with no meat, because they had a price. And second, that's where they made the money, on the meat, of course.
I remember one time in a restaurant, a waitress saying, "Chudák," like, poor you, when I said I didn't eat meat.
Yeah, that was hard. Now it's easy.
You've also been a tennis player and coach. Tell us about that aspect of your life, Tomáš.
My mother was a very good tennis player, and so that's where I picked it up, and I played a lot of tennis, obviously, in Africa. That was easy. Coming back here wasn't that easy, because I couldn't travel anymore. So even though I played on a reasonably good level, I started coaching very early. So at the end, my coaching career was the amazing part, because I got to see all the big tournaments in the early 90s. So instead of staying here and trying to privatize a factory and become rich, I just traveled the world as a tennis coach.
Even like Grand Slam tournaments?
Oh, yeah. I've been in Wimbledon several times, US Open. I've been to most of the tournaments for several years.
You're best known as a DJ with Radio Jedna. You have a show now called Stare Poledne, which I guess means old noon. Radio Jedna, or Radio 1, is a real institution in Prague, and it started in the early 1990s. You've been involved, I believe, since the very beginning, or near the beginning?
Well, near the beginning. What happened is my friends, Ladja Winter and Jirka Neumann, founded the radio, and Lenka Vinerova. They founded the radio, and I consider myself to be a record collector, okay? And because I had lots of source of music, Jirka Neumann, who's a very well-known collector of the 80s music, his collection of the 80s is absolutely amazing. He's got everything.
Is he the guy who does the 80s disco?
Yeah. But that's his collection. So he said, look, you got lots of other music. I can't play the 80s only all the time. So I would bring him tapes and CDs and vinyl to play on Radio 1. And he was playing it, and I always took it back because I was traveling the world. I wasn't here. So eventually he said, look, you know what? Do your own show. Stop bringing the music here. Do your own show. That's how he got me in. It wasn't my intention.
You've been doing it for well over two decades. What do you get out of the experience of playing your stuff on air?
Obviously, it's not for the money. The money's not in it. The very nice feeling is that I play my music and I meet people on the street somewhere in a shop or somewhere. They say, hey, I know your voice. Oh, you played that. Oh, that was such a good thing. I heard it last time I heard it. It was 40 years ago. That's amazing. Or a young kid comes over and says, hey, that was good. I sampled that and I made it into my track. So this is probably the best thing on playing music on Radio 1.
After your tennis career, you have been working installing sports facilities, is that correct?
Yeah, tennis courts. I build a lot of tennis courts throughout Eastern Europe.
What kind of places do you go to or have you been to?
Hey, you name it. I've built a tennis court there. Russia, Mongolia, Uzbekistan, Poland, Hungary, Romania, beautiful countries.
Maybe this is a naive question, but why do they need somebody coming from so far away to build a tennis court?
Well, if you want it made out of synthetic turf or you want to make it out of artificial clay, then you need knowledge. And that's not generally available. And the good thing is it's an all-around-year sport facility, and that helps. Because most of the people, they just build it, and it's open for kids, and that's great.
And have you ever, in your travels, been working in places that were dangerous or where you got in any kind of hairy situations?
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been easy. Because I've been doing this for a long time. You know, situation changes very much. But 20 years ago, Bulgaria wasn't that safe. Nor was Russia, so...
What kind of things could happen to you?
Oh, they would just pull out a gun and say, no, we're not going to do this. We want you to do it this way. You say, no, you can't. You have to do it this way. Otherwise, you don't get a license to play tournaments on it. They say, no, we don't care. You do it our way. But hey, not going to work. Nah. Yes. It hasn't been easy, but it's been fun. It's interesting and a lot of stories. And you meet a lot of very, very nice people.
Obviously, you're a big music fan. Who are your guys? Who are your favorite artists?
That's very hard to say, but I would say that I like Southern rock. So, of course, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Allman Brothers. But to answer the question, I have three dogs now. And we had puppies 2 years ago. And I named my puppies Jimmy, Janice, Mahalia, Stevie, Coco, Roy, Rory, Etta, and Albert. And it's very simple. Those are my really favorite musicians.
One thing I wonder about Southern rock music is, because it has a certain kind of image with the Confederate flags and so on, if being a fan of Southern rock influences fans' political outlook in some way?
Oh, no. Before I answer, I will step back. Burza, okay? Sometimes the police would come and take our vinyl and beat us up a little bit. But they were not stupid. They knew that for us, it's not a political meeting. For us, it's only interest in the music. And that's the same thing. It's an interest in the music and the pride that you are from this country, from this certain area. But that's all what it is about. It's not a political movement. And I think a lot of governmental institutions, even now, they make a mistake when they think that.
My final question, Tomáš, is you're an expert on, I guess, mainly American music. Who are the Czech artists who you admire?
Ah, that's the toughest question you gave me today. The answer would be nobody, because I come from the 70s. That was rubbish. You couldn't listen to it. But on the other hand, what the 90s brought, and Radio 1 brought, is the bands that nobody knew. And there's many of them. There's a prog band called Surround. They're absolutely amazing. It's just pure grunge. Nobody knows them, but they're so fabulous. There's a band called Red Baron. It's prog rock in a fabulous form. They even have a Mellotron. So there are bands here that, thanks to the 90s and thanks to Radio 1, are worth listening to and worth finding out if they're playing somewhere just to go there. But the stuff from the 70s that's mainly on the radios now, you just can't listen to it.
And my guest there was DJ Tomáš Vidra. That's all we have time for today on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, and the rest of the team here in Prague, thank you very much indeed for listening. We leave you now with the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra and Children's Choir with Jan Plachetka and Jan Smigator, and their recording of a French 15th century Christmas carol entitled Les Anges dans nos campagnes.
Slavu Panu zdávají. Jednim dechem, jednim głosem spasi.